The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
When we come to the end of the year and we begin to anticipate the new year, one of the things that I really like to do is to go back in time and space and consider one of America's greatest thinkers, and of course, most famous pastor, Jonathan Edwards, literally probably preached the most famous sermon that's been preached in North America, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I've often reflected on the fact that the Great Awakening and Jonathan Edwards' contribution has, you know, played a key role. That without the American Great Awakening, there probably wouldn't have been the Great American Revolution. It wouldn't have taken place, at least in the way that it wound up taking place. But as a young man, Jonathan Edwards resolved in a series of 70 resolutions on how he would live his life. And those 70 resolutions are very, very interesting. And there's a lot of ways to think about them. And as you read some of these resolutions, it's amazing what it prompts you to do. Like Jonathan Edwards practicing the art of self-reflection. Why God's glory becomes the thing that should drive and motivate all that we do. And then how we must be, the way that Jonathan Edwards would put it, be ambitiously disciplined. And so some of my favorites, and I'll go through some of them, but he begins by saying, resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence. In other words, that he was going to continue to do this. Resolve to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. And so the resolution is to do both his duty that would seem appropriate, good, to the advantage for all human beings, whatever the difficulties, he said, I meet with. And of course, he would say, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last day of my life. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And the reason why I bring it up, as I was a pastor for many, many years of a fairly large church, I would speak to hundreds, even thousands of people on any given week. And on this radio program, I speak to thousands of people on any given day. And simple mathematics tells me that there are people who are listening to this program who may not be listening to this program this time next year. Simple math tells me that there are people who are listening to my voice right at this very moment that for some of you, it might be the last time you hear the gospel, which we talked about yesterday, about the good news of Jesus Christ, about how Jesus came to live and die and rise from the dead. Jonathan Edwards began his resolutions about an overall life mission. He said, being sensible that I'm unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they're agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. And so even as he's writing these things out, and he comes to grips with the fact that he understands that he's not going to be able to do them without the empowering presence of God and his Holy Spirit and his grace. And certainly if it's something that is against God's will, that it makes no sense to desire it if it is in fact outside of God's will. And then the young Jonathan Edwards wrote, remember to read over these resolutions once a week. So not only did Jonathan Edwards publish these resolutions, he resolved to keep them close by so that he would read them over and over and over again. And of course, at the top of his list, he wrote, resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never, so many myriads of ages hence. In other words, part of his resolution is he wants to do that which is to God's glory. And because it's at the top of the list, it's what he wants to ensure that he does, and that he never refrains from doing it. And so he writes, resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. So he begins with God's glory, but he continues with that which is going to benefit. And when he says mankind in general, I think he means both the believing population and the unbelieving population. He writes, resolved to do this. Whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great soever. So in modern language, resolved, I am going to do this in spite of obstacles, difficulties. He writes, resolved to be continually endeavoring to find out some new invention and contrivance to promote the aforementioned things. And this is interesting because in his resolution to be continually endeavoring to find out some new invention and contrivance to promote the aforementioned things, he literally devoted himself to thinking carefully and biblically about the world around him and how his sermons or his messages or his ministry could best benefit people. And he wrote, resolved, if ever I shall fall and grow dull so as to neglect to keep any part of these resolutions, to repent of all I can remember when I come to myself. Can you imagine the young Jonathan Edwards? Now, remember, he's writing this almost 300 years ago. He's writing this, I think, if memory serves me correctly, I'm being conservative, but it's like these resolutions are 275 years old. Jonathan Edwards was a person who was careful and disciplined and focused on self-reflection. Now, there seems to be a way of thinking about this where there's a difference between an unhealthy preoccupation with yourself versus self-reflection. And when you think about Jonathan Edwards, many of his resolutions involved him examining his behavior. But he wasn't just concerned about his own behavior. He was also concerned a lot, with sinful motivations that would underlie his actions. So he really would carefully examine himself. And Paul talks about this in the New Testament where he says, examine yourself to see whether or not in the faith. And self-examination is largely a discipline that has gone by the wayside in our popular culture because self-examination can't be limited to self-examination, quote unquote, for the purposes of indulging oneself. We live in a culture and a society where all too often we're too busy to pause and reflect on the state of our hearts. We're willing to talk about the state of our country or the government or even the church, but we're reluctant to examine our own hearts. But Jonathan Edwards thought that it was vital for him to keep a check on the pulse of his spiritual life. And that's why, again, when I talked about, you know, he said resolve never to lose one moment of time, but improve them in the most profitable way what I possibly can. And then he said he was resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. And it could very well be that when we think about these resolutions, this is why Jonathan Edwards said that he was going to read through them once a week. And maybe one of the reasons why our spiritual life flounders so much is because we don't pause and reflect on the condition of our own heart, where we stand with God, where we are in the process of, in our sin, of recognizing it, repenting of it, forsaking it. Sometimes we don't want to reflect or allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what's going on inside of our hearts. And Jonathan Edwards was motivated by one gigantic thing, God's glory. His faith in God wasn't kept in a separate compartment away from his day-to-day life. And so Jonathan Edwards was a man who wanted his entire life to be devoted to the Lord and to the glory of the Lord. Many Christians today certainly acknowledge Jesus. They acknowledge Christ. They claim and confess Christ. But their beliefs and actions don't always match up. We may say that we long for God's glory, but we don't really live that way. And Jonathan Edwards, though he lived 270 plus years ago, his resolutions were the consistent overflow of his theology and worldview. It affected how he thought about his time. You know, I read a biography of Jonathan Edwards where the biography made the amazing statement that he prepared every day as if it was going to be the last day of his life. I always thought that that was an amazing statement. And thought about it in regards to my own life. Do I live my life as if it is the last day, that it is a preparation for the last day? If the grace of God does not penetrate to the deepest and even the mundane levels of everyday life, it could very well be that we're missing out what God has for us. And so Jonathan Edwards' resolutions, it affected how he thought and how he thought about everything. Thinking, reading, writing, speaking, eating. In other words, he saw his relationship with God and his commitment to Christ as affecting everything that he did. And of course, Jonathan Edwards was a man who had what one author called the faint aroma of his own death in his nostrils. That's what I think his biographer meant when he was constantly reminded of his own mortality and that he desired to live as if every day was his last day. And although we would never say it out loud, many of us don't live that way. We live like that tomorrow's going to come. As sure as the sun rises and sets, it will come tomorrow. But like I indicated earlier, when I'm speaking to this many people, the truth is, for some of us, the end is going to be sooner than any of us ever imagined. Jonathan Edwards lived his life with the end in mind. Sometimes we goof off. Sometimes we slack off. Sometimes we think tomorrow is the day that we get our act together. You know, when we asked and we answered that question, what are you going to do different? What is it that you really want to do differently? No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, Jonathan Edwards teaches us to live our lives in light of our mortality. And of course, he talked about being ambitiously disciplined. What's interesting to me as I read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions is they're incredibly ambitious. It's that ambition that I love about his resolutions. Throughout his life, he would fail in the pious, perfective goals that he set for himself. And even though he knew he wouldn't follow them perfectly, he set them anyway. He sought perfection in his life, even though he knew that he would never attain it this side of glory. Jonathan Edwards knew that we were sinners by nature and by choice, but he began to live his life like Paul. For him to live was Christ and to die was gain.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.